every keynote, I pray and I listen to worship music and just, like,
you count it a joy. Like he said, that I will praise him through it all. Like, you will get the glory, you will get the praise, and no matter what.
It is strengthening your faith.
Yeah.
And you're, and all of those around you who are watching you go through this with such grace.
Hi, friends. You've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together.
A little bit about DeAndrea. She goes by D, and she's all things artsy and fashionable. She loves spending time with her family. She's been married to her husband, Donovan, for almost 16 years, and they have 4 children together, 1 in heaven. She currently works as a nursery preschool coordinator at a local church.
Okay, guys, we have a very special guest. Every guest is special. I know that, but this one has a lot in common with me. We had breast cancer. And mine actually is staged, so you guys know the story. But DeAndrea just finished her last chemotherapy treatment about less than a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 29th of January.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Tell me a little bit about you before cancer. So I heard that there's a testimony even before you were born.
Yeah, so my mom had me when she was 17, 2 months after she turned 17. She was actually raped, and so she decided to keep me. I had amazing grandparents that just, like, came along.
Wow, that's a huge testimony in its own, because of every opinion that people have, and how brave of your mom, too.
Yeah, I had really amazing grandparents. I still have my grandpa, but my grandma passed away in 2020. She just kind of, like, was always that second mom for me, and losing her was really rough, because she had been always there. Amazing grandparents. They made sure that I was in church anytime the doors were open. Twice on Sunday prayer meetings on Wednesday, we were really involved with church camp, and that's where I met my husband and where I gave my life to Jesus.
How old were you at that time?
I was in second grade, but then rededicated my life when I was like a teenager, and then really fully surrendered when I was about 21.
So you met your husband at camp? Yes. When you're in second grade? Oh,
yes. Or not in second grade. I was 18 when I met him, but his family was involved with camps and stuff. They were song evangelists, and so he, like, traveled with them. He played the drums for them, and so, like, I met him, knew of him when I was about 16, 17, because they had done our camp twice in a row, and obviously I thought it was cute. But it was his uncle that actually came up to me and was like, you should date my nephew. And I'm like, that's cool. I don't even know who you are fully. Like, this history after that. But yes, yeah, so my mom was a single mom and had my grandparents. They watched me when she worked and took me to school and things like that.
Can I ask you, like, did she make the decision based off of being a Christian? Or
I think that was a big part of it, yeah. And my grandma said, you know, we'll support you in it. They did reach out to a family because they were like, well, we don't know, should we put you up for adoption, you know, like things like that. But I think once I was born, my grandma was like, no, we're going to do everything we can to keep you. And obviously, I'm so very thankful for that, because she was like the reason why I'm here today. Her prayers and just all the things she's done for me. I wouldn't be here without her. And losing her was like just like the end of the world. It wasn't the end of the world, but it was very, very hard for me, because I think I relied too much on her faith and her spirituality. Like, oh, well, my grandma will pray for it. Or,
yeah,
I can always talk to her, and I can always, whatever I'm going through, and do whatever my mom went through. We lived with her for a while, and then she met a guy, ended up being married. He became abusive and was an alcoholic.
Wow.
And they got a divorce when I was 5. So, like, going back and forth with my grandparents whenever there was an argument or whatever, I was either in my room or my grandma would be called and she'd come get me. But she, you know, always was there to make sure I was in church on Sunday. So I always had that instilled with me. And I know, like, because of that, like, that's just always stuck with me. Like I was saying, that when she did pass, it was like so hard, but it was so good because I could fully rely on Jesus and finally
just gave it all to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not my own understanding. It's not my grandma's faith that's going to get me to heaven. It's my, that I had to fully give everything that I went through
to him and just fully trust in him. That was just like a pivotal moment in my life. Losing her, yeah, it was awful, but Jesus came through and he was there, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Through it all.
And I think that's the beauty of going through trials, but it is a beautiful thing because he came for us, he died for us, and so we don't need the middleman, and we tend to rely on the middleman. It's awesome and wonderful to have prayer warriors in our lives, and we love that, but we tend to rely on them solely. So I love that you saw that. I'm sure it took you a minute to realize that, right?
It's like, what am I gonna do? Well, I don't have to figure it out. I'm supposed to trust God and lean on him through it all, even though it was so difficult. Mm-hmm. It was a turning point in my life that I could just see that God was there in that moment. And had always been with me, no matter what I went through. Like, he was always there.
That's amazing that you can see that. So what's your mom's relationship with God?
She'd tell you this too. Like, she knows that she's made mistakes in her life and her faith. And I know she did struggle with losing my grandma as well. But she loves the Lord now and is in church. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, all I can do is pray. I can relate to that with my parents too. I mean, they're all believers, but they don't have a relationship with God. And it's just to me, it's just like, how can we help them? At points I'm like, they do have their own path that they go through that they need to figure out. And it's a challenge for me to know, when do I step in? Because sometimes if you are that pushy person, then it almost pushes people away more, right?
Yeah. Yes, what you want to be that light, but you don't want it to like...
to push them even further out, or to be like, oh, that's just Jesus freak or whatever. But yeah, it's like, you care so much that I want to... I feel like praying is something that we can do,
right? And like I said, my grandparents were very involved with the church. Like, they were Gideons too. They like delivered Bibles. They were really involved in the Wesleyan denomination. My mom was raised that way. So like, she knew what she was supposed to do, and
yeah,
eventually got back there. So
yeah, I feel like the enemy will try to mess with us too, and he knows that there's like such a great probability that you will become that, you know, missionary, or that, you know, speak about the Lord. But then obviously things happen. So then you're 18, you meet your husband. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
Yeah, we met at camp, and that was a place that was just a very pivotal moment. We actually worked together for 2 years there, just like volunteering, and then we were on staff a little bit, prepping with camps and stuff like that. But we met when I was 18. I was actually going to college that next semester at Indiana Wesleyan. His family lived in Marion at the time, so like, I would hang out with them a lot, and he was still playing football, so we'd go watch his games and stuff like that. And then he asked me to be his girlfriend on October 10th. We got engaged on October 10th. I got married October 10th in 2000.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And he was like raised with amazing parents and grandparents in the church. But yeah, we got married October 10th, 2009.
Okay.
Almost 16 years, 4 kids. Our oldest will be 13 in June. We have boy, girl. So Aaron is 12, Ellie's 10, Stetson is 7, and Delaney's 4.
Wow, we had 3 under 3, and that was challenging. But I feel like there's a different kind of challenge when you have them a little bit, 2.5, 3 years.
Yeah, wow. Well, congratulations. That's incredible. So with you guys being kind of young, having children, but since you were involved in church, did you feel like you guys were in a different season than the rest of your friends? Or
yeah, because like, I did leave college to get married, and then I went back and then had Darren, and so then I never finished. But I knew that like, the Lord wanted me to do something in sort of the area I was going to school. I actually went to school for art education, but I used most of like my experience with camp, and like, they kind of threw me in it, like, because they saw something, like saw my leadership. I would help with like camps, and like, I was like an art teacher like for one of them, and so like, I still got to use like my art stuff. And but then like, children's ministry had always been like a part of my life because of camps, and like, because of the church that I went to, that was always just in the background of everything. And so that's kind of led me to where I am now. with marriage, yeah, I don't feel like a lot of people were married at 20. But since we were involved with the church, like, you had other people surrounding always. We definitely had our, like, lonely times. Like, do we even have any friends? But we had, his family is huge. So, like, he had an older sister we, like, hung out with a lot. And his uncle that introduced us isn't very much older than us because he's the youngest out of four. And so, like, when Donovan's mom, my husband's mom, got married, he was young. So, like, where he's more like our brother than uncle.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that.
You guys have this family. Everything's going wonderful-ish as it can be. So you lost your grandma in 2020. That was tough. And then
when did you get this diagnosis?
May 2024 is when I found a spot.
Did you just fight it yourself in the shower?
Yes. I thought, which, because I could nurse my babies, I thought it was like a clogged duct. And I wasn't going to worry about it. But then my father also a doctor. And so, like, we call him for everything, you know. And I asked my husband, I was like, what do you think about this? Should I even call your dad? Should there be anything to worry about? And he's like, I don't know, just call him to see. He's like, no, you definitely have to go get that checked out. Like, well, just because of my history, my great-grandma had breast cancer, her daughters had, my mom has had spots removed. So I was actually scheduled I got a number to schedule a mammogram because they're like, well, since your history, you need to get one earlier. And I didn't even make the appointment. And I called in. I had to kind of fight a little to get in, like, to be seen. And
really?
Yeah.
Which was how old were you at the time?
35. So that's pretty young. I was 38 when which is still, like, they won't start mammograms until you're 40. But now I think
they're changing that a little bit.
Yeah. So I finally got into some place in May. Actually, I think I found the spot in March, but I think finally in May, I got the diagnosis that it was
breast cancer. Wow, it took that long for them to...
Invasive ductal carcinoma that I had spread to my lymph nodes. And so I ended up having... I chose to get a double mastectomy because I'm like, I just don't want to...
Deal with this.
No. Take it off. I have had 14 lymph nodes removed on my left side.
And they were all five of them were...
Wow. I can't remember if it was like two or... macro and three were micro, but
I found mine earlier, so I did not get, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't have to have chemo at that time.
So what stage was the cancer?
They didn't give me a stage, they gave me a grade. Okay, they said it was a 2.
Okay, so was mine a 2 because it was just a little bit bigger than
Whatever. And was it hormone based, or do you know?
I had like the genetic testing and everything, and they just said it was like environmental, like I don't have, even though it, like, I had...
The genetics?
Yeah. Like, my mom had to her grandma and all that side. None of them have tested the gene, and I didn't have a gene.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's so wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine, they said it was most likely due to birth control from the ages of, like, 20 to 24.
Oh, wow.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, I didn't get anything like that, and... It makes you wonder because I was on it for a little bit too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we started with chemo. I was originally supposed to have 8 treatments every other week. 4 of the ANC drug, it's the red stuff, they call it the red devil. That's the stuff that just changes your immune system and just makes you feel awful. Like, I got through those 4 and then I started, which most people do well with, the Taxol. And so I was supposed to have 4 of those, and I only did 1. And I had neuropathy so bad I couldn't walk. Like, I had it on Thursday, and then that Saturday I couldn't walk. So I talked to the doctors. I'm like, this is not happening. I'm like, I'm not continuing with this. Like, first, I'm like, what are my options? Like, she's like, we can change the drug. We can dial down the dosage. She's like, I don't really see this quickly. Like, I'm just like, my... toes turn colors and all the things done.
Wow.
So I go, can I just quit? And she's like, I think you've done everything
you could.
And so, like, you got the worst of it done. And she's like, I think you can totally just move on to radiation. And so that's what I did. I had a little break, and then I started radiation, and I had that for 30 treatments every day, Monday to Friday.
Wow, I did that. It's pretty intense.
Yeah,
I do it. Mine was...
It was only a week, and it was just one spot, but it was after, like, when it spread to my bones, and then it got a spot in my spine. Mm-hmm.
But it is, it's not even like the radiation makes you tired. It's like, I feel like going there every day is the cycle of like, boom, boom, you're out. But yeah, you commute, though you sit there, you wait, then you're out. How did your family react to all, or how did you react to that?
Yeah, it was definitely difficult, like finding out that I have cancer. But like, even though I struggled, I did have like this peace through it all. Like, God was going to take care of me. And I had these two verses that popped up that would have just spoke over my life over and over, that by stripes we have healed. And that the fact that the Lord calls out the woman who is really about to call her daughter and says, daughter, take heart, that your faith has healed you, spoke that over my life, that I am healed in Jesus' name. It doesn't have to be instant. Like, he can use the doctors. He can use medicine to heal me, but I am going to beat this. I am going to get through this for my kids and for my family. My husband is amazing, and he was there through all my chemo treatments. He had an amazing job that just let him be with every chemo treatment. I know he took it hard too, because he knows my story and just like, why do you have to go through another thing? But it's because I'm gonna have, and I do have, an awesome testimony that the others can have hope and faith through it all, that the Lord does still do miracles. He still cares for you, still takes care of people. He will always be with you, never leave you, forsake you.
Amen.
I just had peace, and I know it was hard for my husband to like see me go through all that and to have hard days, but I only missed one Sunday out of the whole
wow
time. I was in church right after I had surgery. Like, I'm not going to miss. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be a light and a vessel for him. And yeah, I just had this peace through it all. Like, yeah, I had struggles. I had frustration because of having the double mastectomy. They put expanders in if he chose to do reconstruction surgery. And they had to deflate one side. And then my body, like, your body wants to fill that void. And so then it was getting away, and I had it drained. I had seromas like twice. I went into Pastor Jerry's office and I was like, I'm just done. I was frustrated. Like, I was so close to being done with radiation. And she's like, you could be mad because it does suck, but you're not going to stay there. You're not going to stay mad. You're not going to stay upset, because the Lord, he cares for you. And you can tell him the desires of your heart. And Tara, that is on our worship team, as well, she sent me this pastor in California. I can't remember her name, but she was talking about healing and just like the frustrations and things that you go through. And she talked about Abraham, that he didn't consider his body, he didn't consider his old age, but he was persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. And I'm like, that's right. I'm not going to consider all this that I've went through, all these frustrations. Not going to consider this cancer. I am going to consider the Lord, and he's going to take care of me, and I'm going to praise him through it all. Like, every chemo, I pray and I listen to worship music, and just like, you count it a joy. Like, he has said that I will praise him through it all. Like, you will get the glory, you will get the praise, and no matter what,
it is strengthening your faith.
Yeah.
And you're in all of those around you who are watching you go through this with such grace. I think the most important thing here is just to, and that's why it's so important for people to know the word, is because you can hold on to his promises. There's so many promises in the Bible, and God does not promise and doesn't come through. He promises, and every promise is true. And we can believe that with all of our heart. And so trusting in him and reminding him of that, you know, and ourselves too. I feel like that's the biggest difference with believers and non-believers when we're going through something like this. It's so difficult, is that we have the peace, like you mentioned a few times, you know, and then that peace, Jesus did not promise an easy life or that we wouldn't have challenges or troubles, but he did promise that we would have peace through it all. And for you to say that, it's such a huge testimony, because people need to hear that, you know, it is possible for you to walk through a really tough and difficult journey and still have peace, not knowing the outcome,
right?
But holding on to his promises and knowing that he has the best interest at heart, and our best interest. How did your kids feel about all of this? Because they're old enough to understand, some of them.
We struggled with that too. We're like, how do we tell them? Do we tell them, like, you know, it's like my two oldest, obviously they took it the hardest. We told them like that I had cancer and that I'm going to have surgery. And my two oldest, they were, you know, they cried. They saw what my grandma went through. She had brain cancer. And so they saw that what she went through and her treatments and things like that. And they didn't want that to happen to me. And so like, that was hard for them. And we were in the car and we were talking to him, and Stetson, our second to youngest boy, he's just funny. He like is just keeps us laughing. And we told him, he's like, oh, okay. Where's my Switch charger?
Like just like just completely
dismissed it. Fine. It's, you know. He just was joy through and all, like he always made us laugh. And there was another instance that we were always at, it always happens at like the dinner table or in the car when like
it's hard to have a right, I don't think there is a right way of telling, but I remember with mine, I dismissed it, and I mean there's good parts of it and bad parts, and I feel like because I was so confident that God was going to take care of me too, I remember my middle daughter actually took the hardest, and she's like, does that mean you're going to die? And I said, no, I'm just going to go through this and everything's going to be okay. And I said that and they were all like, okay. So we never talked about it again. And thank God it didn't really look sick. Although I did have the double mastectomy, so I have the, you know, drains out of me. I had to drain all this. So, I mean, I look like I had surgery, and I was so thin at the time too. So even though I didn't lose my hair, I wasn't looking healthy, you know. Anyway, it was not the worst that it could have been without even knowing to express maybe that hurt or that fear, you know, like I'm scared. I just completely said, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And they were like, okay. And we ran with it. Yeah. You know? So I don't know. It's like, but it was genuine too. It's not like I was trying to put on the show. I was just so certain. So I feel like that's why God honored that. But it is something very difficult. And I think it's okay for the kids to be, you know,
yeah, scared.
They asked the same question too, like, are you going to die? And I'm like, no, I'm not. They all, you know, saw the same thing, like saw me out of surgery. That didn't look graceful at all. Like you don't feel good. You don't look good. And that was one of my prayers too, because I didn't want to look sick. So I did try to not lose my hair. I tried the cold cappy, just with my job too. Like I'm around other little kids and I didn't want them to be scared.
Yeah.
But I think the Lord just like touched me and the ones around me to not feel that way too, because like I did end up losing my hair, and it was the Lord for real, because I don't have any other explanation for it, because they asked questions and I would tell them, and like, this is what we're going to, this is the next steps. And I am like, may have bad days where I don't get out of bed, but that was my prayer, that like I didn't want to be a bed. I wanted to be at all the football games and all the sports and activities and all that stuff. And this isn't against anyone that is going through something and is having a different situation. They're like, how are you doing it? Like, how are you in bed? I know people that just can't even function. And I'm like, it's the Lord. Like, because I don't know. I'm just determined in my mind and my body. Like, I'm just going to keep moving. I'm going to keep going. And I missed one Sunday because I just got sick. Like I got something from someone and
didn't want to spray.
Yeah, and you're just like, I'm gonna have to be home today. But like,
He says that he's strong in our weaknesses, right? And remembering that too is actually good. That we're weak, he steps in.
Yeah,
and carries us. Yeah, true. I felt the same way too on those moments. So where are we at right now?
I just had a follow-up today and just moving forward with the next surgery. We're just waiting game and healing from rage.
So you still have the expanders?
Yes.
Well,
maybe I'll have those probably for 6 months now.
Okay. Mine was quicker. I didn't have to have the chemo and anything. So 6 months I had my double mastectomy in July. And then in November we had the, you know, the surgery. But it's still very abnormal. It's very strange, yes, to look in the mirror and be like, you have the scars. But then I keep thinking that scars, there was something somebody said the other day, or I read somewhere, that scars are actually beautiful because it's like shows that you're a survivor, you're a warrior, you know, you went through things. And that really spoke to me, because it's not pretty, you know, to look at all those, like, it's, and the doctor, I remember wanting, like, we can revise this and we can
go through it until you're happy. And I'm like, I'm never going to be happy, right? It's never going to look like it did before, you know? And it just made me value, because I thought, you know, maybe I could get surgery before cancer. Like, you know, it's very popular to get, you know, breast surgery or whatever, you know, because my boobs had been of a woman that breastfed 3 kids. And it was actually really cute. So, you know, looking back, I'm like, I took it all for granted. And I did. And I kind of wanted to say this, because if you're in this position of you're looking at yourself and unhappy with them, it could be worse and much worse. So just be happy with that, because it's yours, you know. Okay, so I wanted to ask you a few questions from the perspective of, like, questions that readers or some people in my audience ask me a lot. And one of them is just specifically for us. Like, when people ask you for updates, do people ask you for updates all the time? Or
yeah, and my mom has kind of, like, taken care of that a lot, too, because then I would get text messages, and sometimes I would just be, like, in the process of a treatment or, like, what's next? Or my mother-in-law was really involved with, she stayed with me, too, like, through my surgery and all that. So she was really good about, like, updating people. I would try to, like, get people some updates on Facebook that he has, like I talked about the camp that I grew up going to and worked at. They have what they call picking and grinning on Sundays, and so they tell, like, they put that on Facebook, and they would pray. They would pray for me specifically every Sunday, and so then I would update people that way too. So, like, I wanted to, for the people that were praying for me and that actually cared, like, yeah, I'll, you know.
And you're in the thick of it too. Like, you're going through the treatments. Yeah, I find it a little more, I mean, it makes more sense. For me, I find it at times, and just like, there's no updates, you know?
Right. It's just like, I'm just here, and I'm doing whatever the doctors tell me, you know?
Yeah.
And, or I always get, like, a second opinion from my father-in-law. But he went with me with my first appointment when they were, like, telling me everything and what the next step was with surgery and stuff, because he went through that with his mom, and it was amazing just to have him, like, okay, tell me, explain all this to me, because yeah, I don't know. Like,
and it is a special thing. Like, so my oncologist is one of my really good friends' dad. Mm-hmm. And so just having that relationship, yeah, like, you know, we're close, and he knows me to a different level than just a patient. And it just, I do feel special, mm-hmm, you know, that we have that. A lot of women ask me, how do you keep this joy, you know, like, so joyful, you're everywhere, you don't even act like you're sick, you're out and about, like, how do you keep that going in the midst of this bad news?
Yeah. Sometimes I don't know, like, it is the Lord, like, just trying to always be in his word and, like, surround yourself with people that are gonna pour into you. Like, I'm blessed with an amazing support system. Like, I've had meal trains and, like, friends that sit cleaners to my house and, like, things like that that just have been really helpful. And if you don't have that, just the Lord will bring you through it. And it's okay to have hard days, and it's okay to, like, I have no joy today. Like, mm-hmm, I just want to stay in bed. I want to do nothing. But you just have to have that, like, fight in you a little bit to just not stay there,
mm-hmm,
and to keep going, because it will get better. You will get through this, and you just keep going.
Yeah.
It's not me. I don't count the joy me at all. It's the Lord working through me for sure.
So what's your routine with God? Do you have a specific routine that you talk to PM in?
I travel a lot, so I'm in the car a lot. So I will either be listening to worship music a lot or praying that time. Busy with kids and stuff and work. Sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's at night. I don't have a specific set time.
How do you parents, while you're having a bad day, how do you keep the kids, you know, at some level of normalcy while you're going through?
Yeah, I think just that we were up front with them, like, and that they felt safe to just ask us any questions at any time. Like, you can ask us anything and we'll try to explain it to you the best we can. And I know that, like, the two oldest that understood it the most did struggle a little bit with it, like, because they just didn't understand. Just letting them know that I'm there too. Like, they can always come to me and talk to me. And even if I am in bed, like, and I'm not feeling good, that they know that they can just, yeah, just come in and talk to me. They lay down with me for a little bit. I'm just, like, really proud of them because since I am, they work at the church, I see their prayer requests and, like, we, you know, cut the names off. But I'm just, like, so thankful that they have the confidence that they can bring their requests to the Lord and know that
He will answer. He will listen. Bless my heart that they know that they can pray for their mom and know that He will be there for them and comfort them and do it all.
I think that's a good answer of being honest and open conversations and just try to be as vulnerable, you know, like you can come and ask me, I might not have the right answer, but it kind of welcomes them to ask questions and not be scared.
Yeah.
You know, which I feel like that's what I did, kind of like, ah.
And I think, too, like, because they're kids, keeping them busy, too, helps. Like, because if you're not feeling well, my husband or my mother-in-law, because she was staying with me for, like, a month or two, would just, like, take them, go outside or go do something with them, like, bring a little joy in it. Like, even though it's going to stop them, like, it's not going to be fixed right away that you can try to focus on
something
and value their feelings too. Like, yeah, it's okay to be upset, it's okay to cry, it's okay to, like, because, like, I'm upset too, like, I don't know all the answers and we'll never know all the answers, and just to help them feel comfortable.
I think one thing that I wanted to say is to accept help too. You reminded me that when you said your mother-in-law came and stayed with you, so did my mom. She stayed with us for a whole month, or maybe even more than that, and it was hard for her to see all that, her daughter going through all of this. I remember, like, on the mastectomy, the day that I took my robe off, like, her face was rough. It was even harder to see that because I was just trying to keep it strong. It's like, it's okay, but it's an image that it gets engraved in your heart, in your minds, and it's so hard. But she was here, and I feel like I'm very self-sufficient, so I don't like to ask for help for a lot of things. I'm, like, very dependent. And so that taught me a big lesson of, like, accept help, just being bad, and don't feel like you have to be entertaining people.
Right.
You know, that let them come and help you and go. And so that's mostly for the people who are having a hard time with accepting help. Just accept it, and it's going to be so much easier. And I'm so grateful that I have that memory of my mom being there and the kids being there, and they had a great time, you know, and it just made it all a lot easier than it could have been.
Yeah, luckily I was blessed with that too. Like, my mother-in-law came to save his knee during my surgery, and then my mom would come when I had radiation to watch the kids and take them to school next day. So, because it was always, like, at the time that they needed to be at school. So,
yeah. So for the friends who are not necessarily going through this, you know, and if you have a friend going through this and they don't have family support, then maybe you can offer and do, just send them a meal, send cleaning people, go stay with them, or offer to take care of their kids. I think that's huge. Like, offering to take care of the kids for a weekend or something.
Yeah, a couple of nights.
That's just a brief. So much of us, you know.
Yeah. Meals were amazing too. Like, that was one less thing you have to worry about.
Exactly.
And I was the same way too. Like, I don't really like to ask for help, or I'm just like, I will figure it out. Like, you know, and people did just show up, and I was very grateful for that.
And don't block a blessing if you're going through it. Because that's why I was like, oh no. And then I forget, someone was like, well, don't block my blessing.
I think that's what Janae said. Yeah, she's like, you're not letting it get through, which is so true. Yeah, like, okay, fine.
Yes, okay. Yeah, let it come. Okay, so before we wrap up in prayer, I want to encourage you guys, if you're still watching or listening, if you're watching on YouTube specifically, and you need prayer, or you want to pray for D'Andrea or me or the podcast or other people going through, I love when it happens, like the community happens in the comments. So feel free, if you need prayer, to leave it in the comments and we'll all pray for you. Or if you want to, if you feel led to pray for us, you can leave it in the comment, and that encourages other people to do the same too. And we can create this beautiful prayer chain that happens, because miracles happen so much more when the prayers are out there. Let's do that for one another.
Can you close us in prayer?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for Karina and what she's doing to share light to others, Lord. We just ask that you would be with anyone that is hurting right now, that needs a spiritual touch from you, a healing touch from you. God, that through these words today, that they would find hope and just peace over them, that they know that they can fully rely on you, that you still are in the business of doing miracles, Lord, that they would give it all to you. Lord, we just thank you, God, for using us and to share what you're doing through us, God, that we give you all the praise through it all. Lord, we just ask that you would come alongside those that just may feel discouraged right now, that they're going through a hard time or just need just a touch from heaven, Lord, that they would just feel your presence, feel your comfort, feel your healing touch on them, God, that we just speak the name of Jesus over each one that hears this podcast. And Lord, that you would just continue to use Karina and those that work around her and that are using this podcast for your glory, Lord. We just ask that you would bless it, and we thank you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.